Well, good morning. Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, good to have you here. It is a beautiful Wednesday morning as we are live on location at Ag in Motion. Day number two of the three-day show when we are proud and happy to be located right next to the Co-op Farm Building where they've got a beautiful overhang. So we've got the benefit of shade. We've got a little bit of a cool breeze blowing in. And it's been a great morning. So many people stopping by to say hi. And for that, of course, we're appreciative. So please do take the time to stop by the booth if you're coming down. We're easy to find right on the corner of 4th and BC. So if you're following the streets on the corner of 4th and BC is where you can find us. Well, on this program, we talk a lot about fuel. We talk energy, we talk gas, we talk oil. And as you know, much of the conversation that is happening globally is about what does transitioning away from fossil fuels look like? Well, I can tell you this. There's a new study that shows in Canada, at least, the reliance on fossil fuels has barely changed in three decades. The Fraser Institute study finds that fossil fuels account for 76.3% of Canada's domestic energy consumption. So that number is just, it's actually negligible, if any change, from where it was in 1995. So 30 years, that hasn't changed. It plays a major role in, of course, the economies of many provinces, including Saskatchewan. It also looks at the challenges of energy affordability, reliability, and the realities of moving forward with cleaner energy sources. I think the report does a very good job of capturing all of these conversations that you and I have so many days on this program, which is exactly why I wanted to reach out to the author of this piece, Kenneth Green. He's a senior fellow with the Matheson Center Research Initiatives at the Fraser Institute, and I'm happy to say that we've got Mr. Kenneth Green joining us by phone. Ken, thanks so much for taking our call today.
Thanks for having me on. Good morning.
Your study finds that fossil fuels made up 76.3% of Canada's energy use in 2024, and that's almost unchanged from 95. What does that tell you about the notion of energy transition?
Well, what it says, first and foremost, is that the idea that we're going through a rapid energy transition, and that this has been an idea for the last 30 years, proposed by environmentalists primarily, is itself a myth. Energy transitions historically don't happen in very fast time. It took decades and decades for majority of power to be replaced from coal, for example, to natural gas. Many decades more to bring on any level of significant nuclear power over time, and natural gas from oil to natural gas. So energy transitions historically we know are slow. But beginning around 2000, even the 1990s, the environmental movement began pushing this idea of a rapid energy transition, that we were going to force a transition from fossil fuels primarily to renewables, that is non-greenhouse gas generating power, wind and solar power primarily, and with some grudging hydro and some grudging natural gas to tide things over. But that was never based on any kind of rational economics or engineering capabilities. The reality is the fossil fuels are the most affordable way to generate the power that society needs to drive its economy and drive its quality of life. And it's the same now as it has been, as you pointed out, for almost 30 years.
Yeah. You know, when I'm sitting, as you know, today at one of the biggest farm shows in Western Canada, Ag in Motion, and I'm looking at the equipment, the machinery that is here, and it makes me think about, in terms of the study that you did, this notion of moving away from fossil fuels, who is in the driver's seat? Despite the fact that in Canada we've seen government policy changes and law changes to try and initiate this sort of energy transition, I look around where I am at right now at Ag in Motion and I see we are a long ways away from getting rid of fossil fuels. Who actually is in the driver's seat when it comes to energy transition?
Well, I think the people who want to be in the driver's seat are the environmental movement, and to be honest, lobbying groups for wind power and solar power, that groups who want to sell this new technology and have been unable to do so historically since the original growth in the use of energy around World War II and even earlier. Wind and solar power are old forms of energy. They're much older than oil and natural gas and coal, but they just don't generate enough power to be useful over time, and they still haven't. So the people who are trying to drive the energy transition are governments, for political purposes related to climate change and international relations. People try to sell different, to collect a share of the wealth from energy use in their various countries. But the people actually making the decisions are the consumers who have proven unwilling to buy, to pay for much more expensive energy and have much more scarce and unreliable energy. And accordingly, don't change their behavior. They keep, they're staying with the technologies that use oil and gas preferentially and not replacing those technologies with electrification based on wind and solar power or other renewables.
Mm-hmm. Is there one area, we're chatting today with Kenneth Green from the Fraser Institute, is there one area where energy transition can happen more quickly? You know, we've talked about, for example, transportation industry. There's a few different home heating. There's a few different ways in which we use energy. Is there one area where transition is likely to happen more more swiftly?
I'm looking for a way to be positive about this question, but I'm not finding one. In fact, if you want a shocking number, the amount of fossil fuels used in transportation in Canada is 99%. So the idea that we're going to transition to electric vehicles across the economy in any time soon, despite the massive push for electric vehicles that we've seen over the last three decades, suggests that is not the bright, that is not going to be the bright spark we're looking for with regard to a faster energy transition. Natural gas can come on very quickly compared to other forms of energy production. So maybe replacing some residual coal with natural gas or some use of petroleum or oil for energy with natural gas is a possibility. But there's not a lot of chances for fast change.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I'm not looking for positivity. I just like the honesty, Kenneth. I think that's what we're taking away from this piece of work that you did in the conversation that we're having now. Because if I look at even Saskatchewan's economy, I mean, we are very dependent on the energy sector as part of the economic driver that it is in our province. So, you know, I think there's a downside to a rapid transition away from fossil fuels, certainly for our province. So to me, this study, this piece of work that you've just done shows some longevity in terms of economic stability for Saskatchewan.
Yes, and I think what's one thing that's really important for people to understand is that while we're focused, while the world is focused on this mythical energy transition that government is pushing and that environmental groups are pushing, the world's attention is taken away from actually getting better at producing conventional energy, getting more efficient at producing oil and gas, getting more efficient and better at distributing it and refining it and getting it to markets and getting it into use. And we need to use more in order to maintain and grow economic strength, to make economic growth. And so while we're focusing on windmills and solar turbines and battery electric vehicles, we're sort of neglecting these older technologies and working to improve them to make the costs lower to consumers, to make the power more reliable, more affordable, more abundant. And so our eye is off the ball. And that's, I think, one of the messages I would say is that the reason that any of this matters is it's the numbers are very impressive and everything. But the reason they matter is because society's attention has been misdirected in the last several decades away from making better use of conventional energy toward replacing the idea of conventional energy, oil and gas, and fossil fuels. And I think that's been bad for society, bad for the economics of society as a whole, the country and the families, provinces, households, across the board.
As I was looking through your study, we're chatting today with Kenneth Green, who is a senior fellow, Matheson Center Research Initiatives with the Fraser Institute. I'm glancing through your study, and I see that over the past couple of decades, energy prices in Canada have risen faster than overall inflation. And for Canadians, energy is among some of the highest bills for Canadian households. Why do you think that is? You just talked about the fact that we're getting better, we're getting more efficient at refining and using fossil fuels, yet it seems as if costs are going up almost at a rate that's quicker than inflation.
Well, the main reason is because while we're increasing the production of energy over time, we're not producing it as fully according to demand. It's being suppressed in terms of the growth of conventional energy has been suppressed in favor of renewables, which simply don't deliver as much energy or as affordably as before. And so we've been stifling the affordable energy growth, and we've been facilitating growth in boutique, scarcely available, expensive energy growth. Not surprisingly, when you look at your bill for your average consumer, it's higher rather than lower over time because of that focus on let's lay on more and more expensive, more and more unreliable power that needs duplicative backup power, redundant power, that, by the way, you still have to pay for. You pay for your wind power, your solar power, but you also pay for the backup power for provided by natural gas. So it's no surprise that costs are not declining, but are in fact increasing, even though the world has found more and more and more supplies of fossil fuels over time. But policies, government policies primarily, have gotten in the way of the market's tendency to make everything cheaper and more abundant over time.
Mm-hmm. Your study, of course, focused on fossil fuels in Canada, the makeup they have of the overall picture. Do you have any sense, is this very small amount of change over the last three decades consistent with what you would have seen in other countries? Do you have any idea about that, Kenneth?
We didn't look at that in this particular study, but it is generally the case that around the world, the energy transition is not happening. There are very few countries that happen to have extremely reasonably high quality wind power resources, for example, offshore and onshore wind power, and some solar resources that have managed to make some change and transition. And some wealthier countries have been able to afford to adopt more electric vehicles here and there. But by and large, the overall dynamic, which is the most affordable fuels are and most versatile fuels are fossil fuels, and that they are the momentum of all of the energy systems we use around the world were built with them and require them to continue being used, means that, again, the energy transitions of this sort happen over many, many decades, sometimes even over centuries. So the idea that the world is seeing this rapid energy transition has been mostly wishful thinking and mostly an excuse to neglect and prevent the growth of the fossil fuels and that are disliked on the grounds of their influence on the climate and also political, geopolitical forces of where they're produced.
Before I let you go, Kenneth, what does your report say that the federal government should pay attention to?
Well, we're not giving specific advice in this case for what governments should do. What we do think, though, is that policy is best when it's grounded in reality, when it's grounded in actual shared facts, that people can look at the facts of the situation and ask, what should we do? It's always best if we're actually talking about the same problem or asking the same question.
Sure.
And so we just wanted to make sure that people understand that right now, we actually have a disjunction between reality, that is the fossil fuels are still dominant and they still will be, and their change is very slow, and government policy of promising to make a rapid transition and then neglecting conventional sources at the same time. So if there's an implied message from my perspective, I would say, you know, if you need to recognize the reality here that your bread is buttered, as you're at an agricultural show, your bread is buttered in the traditional energy sectors of fossil fuels, and you need to be looking to making that more effective, more efficiently produced, better distributed, more affordable, more abundant for people, and not hanging on to this dream or wishful thinking of a rapid future of windmills and solar panels replacing all of the conventional forms of energy we use every single day in every single thing we do. As we're sitting here on, I don't know how many pounds or tons of electronic equipment between you and I, every single element of this conversation is powered overwhelmingly by fossil fuels. So that's where governments should be focusing on is making sure we can have as much of that as we need to prosper as a society and not paying attention to people who are claiming transitions are happening that aren't actually happening.
Kenneth, always appreciate you joining our program. Thanks for your time today.
Always a pleasure. And if I can get an omelet from you guys, where there, it's making me kind of hungry earlier with the food talk. So.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. Sounds good, Kenneth. Thanks so much. Kenneth Green, Senior Fellow, Matheson Center, Research Initiatives, Fraser Institute, and that study is available online on the Fraser Institute website if you're interested. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.